I believe that in the open attention, scratch that, information economy that we find ourselves in, value will mostly derive from effective curation, dissemination, and transmission of information, not the exclusive ownership of it. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. I hope you guys have had a good couple of days, and we are getting deeper into the week, and I am recovering from the stab in the back from my government, and we are getting into a great read today. I thought, I was going through my list and trying to figure out what to read today, and I read like four or five articles, and I was like, oh, this one was pretty good, and I couldn't quite pinpoint it. And then I just saw there was another one by Gigi that I had saved, and I was like, oh, no brainer, and this one will probably be really, really great. I recorded this one, it was actually the first time I read it, so I went into this one blind, and I hope you enjoy it, going right into it with me. Gigi is always an easy one that I just know is going to have something great. And you know, we'll see. We'll see at the end of this. It's a wild card, baby. Let's go. Real quick, let's thank our sponsors, and then we will jump in. A huge thank you to Swan Bitcoin for making this show possible and being a long-term sponsor and a supporter of this show and helping to bring this content to you, and for onboarding people into Bitcoin, having a place. I shilled them long before they were sponsors, and I will shill them long after. SwanBitcoin.com is the place to get into Bitcoin. Go to SwanBitcoin.com/guy. It helps support this show. Link is in the show notes. And also, you're going to want to put that Bitcoin onto something safe, onto a hardware wallet. And I just posted on Noster just a little while ago, I have officially made my default, like my main mobile setup, on-chain Bitcoin setup, is now with 2-tap signers on the Nunchuck wallet, and I'm really happy with the setup. If you haven't checked out the Tap Signer, it is a credit card. It's a card-sized NFC wallet, and it is really, really cool. There is hardly a simpler hardware wallet that exists, in my opinion. And the experience of using it with Nunchuck is just amazing. And also, the cold card has NFC as well, which makes it, you can use it in literally the exact same setup in the exact same way. And you can get 9% off with my discount code Bitcoin Audible. And then lastly, the fold card, 1% back on everything that you do in fiat. If you have access, and that's before the spins, that's before the gift cards, that's before all of the numerous ways that you can get sats. If you are not taking advantage of this, check out my link immediately. In fact, pause this right now, go to the link in the show notes, and sign up for Fold. And with that, let's get into today's read. And it's titled Purple Text, Orange Highlights by Durjiji. How Noster Can Benefit Readers and Writers. Not too long ago, I tried to paint a picture of what a vision for a value-enabled web could look like. Now, only a couple of months later, all this stuff is being built. On Noster and on Lightning. Orange and purple. A match made in heaven. It goes without saying that I am beyond delighted. What a time to be alive. Noster. Here's the thing that Noster got right, and it's the same thing that Bitcoin got right. Information is easy to spread and hard to stifle. Information can be copied quickly and perfectly, which is, I believe, the underlying reason for its desire to be free. Easy to spread, hard to stifle. That's the base reality of the nature of information. As always, the smart thing is to work with nature, not against it. That's what's beautiful about the orange coin and the purple ostrich. Both manage to work with the peculiarities of information, not against them. Both realize that information can and should be copied, as it can be perfectly read and easily spread always. Both understand that resistance to censorship comes from writing to many places, making the cost of deletion prohibitive. Quote, information does not just want to be free, it longs to be free. Information expands to fill the available storage space. Information is rumor's younger, stronger cousin. Information is fleeter of foot, has more eyes, knows more, and understands less than rumor. Eric Hughes, from A Cypherpunk's Manifesto. Noster is quickly establishing itself as a base layer for information exchange, one that is identity-native and value-enabled. It is distinctly different from the systems that came before it, just like Bitcoin is distinctly different from monies that came before it. As of today, the focus of Noster is mostly on short text notes, the so-called Type 1 events, more commonly known as tweets. However, as you should be aware by now, Noster is way more than just an alternative to Twitter. It is a new paradigm. Change the note kind from 1 to 30023, and you don't have an alternative to Twitter, but a replacement for Medium, Substack, and all the other long-form platforms. I believe that special-purpose clients that focus on certain content types will emerge over time, just like we have seen the emergence of special-purpose platforms in the Web 2.0 era. This time, however, the network effects are cumulative, not separate. A new paradigm. Let me now turn to one such special-purpose client, a Noster-based reading app. Reading. I'm constantly surprised that even though most people do read a lot online, very few people seem to have a reading workflow or reading tools. Why that is anyone's guess, but maybe the added value of such tools is not readily apparent. You can just read the stuff right there, on the ad-ridden, dead-ugly site, right? Why should you sign up for another site, use another app, or bind yourself to another closed platform? That's a fair point, but the success of Medium and Substack shows that there is an appetite for clean reading and writing, as well as providing avenues for authors to get paid for their writing, and a willingness of readers to support said authors just because. The problem is, of course, that all of these platforms are platforms, which is to say, walled gardens that imprison readers and writers alike. Worse than that, they are fiat platforms, which means that permissionless value flows are not only absent from their DNA, they are outright impossible. Noster fixes this. The beauty of Noster is that it is not a platform, it's a protocol, which means that you don't have to sign up for it. You can create an identity yourself. You don't have to ask for permission, you just do, without having to rely on the benevolence of whatever dictator is in charge of the platform right now. Noster is not a platform, and yet powerful tools and services can be built and monetized on top of it. This is good for users, good for service providers, and good for the networks at large. Win, win, win. So what am I talking about exactly? How can Noster improve everyone's reading and writing experience? Allow me to paint a rough picture of what I have in mind. Noster already supports private and public bookmarks, so let's start from there. Imagine a special-purpose client that scans all your bookmarks for long-form content. Everything that you marked to be read later is shown in an orderly fashion, which is to say searchable, sortable, filterable, and displayed without distractions. Voila! You have yourself a reading app. That's in essence how Pocket, Readwise, and other reading apps work, but all these apps are walled gardens without much interoperability and without direct monetization. Bitcoin fixes the direct monetization part. Noster fixes the interoperability part. Alright, we got ourselves a boring reading app. Great. Now imagine that users are able to highlight passages. These highlights, just like bookmarks now, could be private or public. When shared publicly, something interesting emerges. An overlay on existing content. A lens on the written web. In other words, swarm highlights. Imagine a visual overlay of all public highlights, automatically shining a light on what the swarm of readers found most useful, insightful, funny, etc. Further, imagine the possibility of sharing these highlights as a Type 1 event with one click, automatically tagging the highlighters as well as the author, of course, so that eventual SAT flows can be split and forwarded automatically. Voila! You have a system that allows for value to flow back to those who provide it, be it authors, editors, curators, or readers that willingly slog through the information jungle to share and highlight the best stuff, which is a form of curation, of course. Zaps make Nostr a de facto address book of payment information, which is to say Lightning addresses as of now. Thanks to Nostr Wallet Connect, among other developments, sending sats will soon be, what, scratch that, is already as frictionless as leaving a like. Value for value and participatory payment flows are something that traditional reading apps desperately lack, be it Pocket, Instapaper, Readwise, or the simple reading mode that is part of every browser. A neat side effect of a more structured way to share passages of text is that it enables semi-structured discussions around said passages, which could be another useful overlay inside special purpose clients, providing context and further insights. Further, imagine the option of seamlessly switching from text on screen to text to speech, allowing the user to stream sats if desired, as podcasting 2.0 clients already do. Imagine user-built curations of the best articles of the week bundled neatly for your reading pleasure, incentivized by a small value split that allows the curator to participate in the flow of sats. You get the idea. I'm sure that the various implementation details will be hashed out, but as I see it, 90% of the stuff is already there. Maybe we'll need another nip or two, but I don't see a reason why this can't be built, and more importantly, I don't see a reason why it wouldn't be sustainable for everyone involved. Most puzzle pieces are already there, and the rest of them can probably be implemented by custom event types. From the point of view of Nostr, most everything is an event. Bookmarks are events, highlights are events, marking something as read is an event, and sharing an excerpt or a highlight is an event. Public actions are out in the open, private actions are encrypted, the data is not in a silo, and everyone wins. Especially the users, those who are at the edge of the network and usually lose out on the value generated. In this case, the reading case, the users are mostly consumers of content. So what changes from the producing perspective? The perspective of the writer. Writing. Back to the one thing that Nostr got right. Information is easy to spread, but hard to stifle. In addition to that, digital information can be copied perfectly, which is why it shouldn't matter where stuff is published in the first place. Allow me to repeat this point in all caps, for emphasis. It should not matter where information is published. And maybe even more importantly, it shouldn't matter if it is published in 100 different places at once. What matters is trust and accuracy, which is to say digital signatures and reputation. To translate this to Nostr speak, because every event is signed by default, as long as you trust the person behind the signature, it doesn't matter from which relay the information is fetched. This is already true, or mostly true, on the regular web. Whether you read the Internet Archive version of an article, or the version that is published by an online magazine, the version on the author's website, or the version read by some guy that has read more about Bitcoin than anyone else you know, it's all the same, essentially. What matters is the information itself. Practically speaking, the source of truth in a hyper-Nostrized world is, you guessed it, an event. An event signed by the author, which allows for the information to be wrapped in a tamper-proof manner, which in turn allows the information to spread far and wide without it being hosted in one place. The first clients that focus on long-form content already exist, and I expect more clients to pop up over time. As mentioned before, one could easily imagine prism-like value splits seamlessly integrated into these clients, splitting zaps automatically to compensate writers, editors, proofreaders, and illustrators in a value-for-value fashion. Further, one can imagine various compute-intensive services built into these special-purpose clients, such as GPT ghostwriters, or writing aids such as Grammarly and the like. All these services could be seamlessly paid for in sats, without the requirement of any signups or the gathering of any user data. That's the beauty of money proper. Plagiarism is one issue that needs to be dealt with, of course. Humans are greedy and some humans are assholes. Neither Bitcoin nor Nostr fixes this. However, while plagiarism detection is not necessarily trivial, it is also not impossible, especially if most texts are published on Nostr first. Nostr-based publishing tools allow for open timestamp attestations thanks to NIP03, which in turn allows for plagiarism detection based on first seen lookups. That's just one way to deal with the problem, of course. In any case, I'm confident that we'll figure it out. Value. I believe that in the open attention, scratch that, information economy we find ourselves in, value will mostly derive from effective curation, dissemination, and transmission of information, not the exclusive ownership of it. Although it is still early days, the statistics around Podcasting 2.0 and Nostr Zaps clearly show that A, people are willing to monetarily reward content that they care about, and B, the willingness to send sats increases as friction decreases. The ingenious thing about boostergrams and zaps is that they are direct and visible, which is to say public and interactive. They are neither regular transactions nor simple donations. They are something else entirely, an unforgeable value signal, a special form of gratitude and appreciation. Contrast that with a link to PayPal or Patreon, impersonal, slow, indirect, and friction-laden. It's the opposite of a supercharged interaction. While today's information jungle increasingly presents itself in the form of short videos and long-form audio, I believe that we will see a renaissance of the written word, especially if we manage to move away from an economy built around attention towards an economy built upon value and insight. The orange future now has a purple hue, and I believe that it will be as bright as ever. We just have a lot of building to do. Alright, that wraps up Dirt Gigi's piece, Purple Text, Orange Highlights. So real fast, let's hit our sponsor, and I want to do a short guy's take. Everybody knows that Swan Bitcoin is the best way to onboard. It's the quickest, no nonsense, and the place that you can send people that you just know, they're only going to get signal. They're not going to be pushed into trading. They're not going to be shilled to buy shitcoin 7,983 because they make lots of fees if you're buying and selling crap all of the time. They want to build a long-term relationship and business that is there for everyone to understand, to know how to protect their Bitcoin, to know how to build a long-term savings. And now with the Swan IRA, in just a couple of minutes, you can set up and start having real Bitcoin in your retirement, tax-free. Being that it's tax season, I'm sure a lot of us are feeling the pain of that in the last few days and weeks. And Swan Bitcoin has probably the best team out there to guide you to. They have amazing write-ups like their blog. We read a lot of their stuff on the show, and that's not because they're a sponsor. It's just because, they have really great stuff on their blog. And if you want the concierge service, you can sign up with Swan Private, and you'll have access to the team all the time. If you want to connect your business, if you want to connect your trust, anything like that, that is the service that is going to help you. And if you are a Swan Private member already, they're having a private Swan Private event in Miami, and it looks like a couple of you guys are actually going to be there. So this will be really cool because I will be there this Thursday, so 2 days from now. I was hoping some of the audio notes would be there, so I'm excited to see you guys. But if you haven't checked out Swan, you definitely need to. Go to swanbitcoin.com/guide, that is my link, and it lets them know that I sent you, which is actually a really easy way and free way to support the show and help keep this thing alive. The link will be right there for you in the show notes. So one of the things that stood out to me in this piece was that, like, I am an avid reader, if you were not aware. And I have used all of the Readwise, probably Readwise is the one that I only actually still sort of use. And it was only because of the browser plugin, really, more than anything. But I've used Readwise, Instapaper, Pocket, Matter, whatever the Apple one was. Like, I think Google and Apple have their own individual ones, and I tried both of those. I've just tried a lot of them. And what's funny is really the major problem with all of them is the fact that they are closed, is that I can't use them anywhere else. And integrating, like interoperating with them, is a freaking nightmare. Like, the best one I found was, and it was while I was trying to use Rome Research. So I've had a number of you talk about, or I've seen a number of you, or I guess on Nostr, you might not be listening to the show, but a number of people on Nostr talking about using Obsidian, which is a notes app. And that has basically become my go-to. And it's not even a reader app. Like, it's not really got anything to do with it. I just use it to collect links. It's basically like bookmarking on steroids. And, you know, note-taking and stuff. Like, all my notes for the show are in Obsidian. And I can easily just keep a copy of them in iCloud, or honestly any cloud service device, you know, Google Drive, Dropbox, my own personal one on like Nextcloud, and then just pull from that, like just connect straight to that and then have it sync across all my devices. So like where I was paying like Rome Research $16 a month for essentially the same thing and in the same format, and they still didn't have an API. They didn't have an API. So like if I wanted to save a snippet from an article with a link to it, to remind myself to go back and read or finish this, or that this was a really cool thought, and if I ever want to read, I can search by topic. So if I'm like, I just want to read about X today, I want to read about Bitcoin mining, I can sort in order all of the highlights that I made from internet articles recently with the link attached to them. Automatically, it's a little plugin that I have, with the link attached to them, and I can sort them in like most recent that have anything to do with Bitcoin mining, and then I can just kind of go through and I'm like, oh yeah, that was a really cool point, and then like I'll dig through and then that will be the article I read, in doing that though, like the beauty of something like Obsidian was that the notes are completely agnostic. And the same thing with Rome Research. They use the same format. So I actually, after I'd used Rome for a really long time and paid for their service, and they kept saying, we're going to have an API, we're going to have an API. I used them for like a year and 3 months. They've been saying since the very beginning they were going to have an API. They don't have an API. And whereas Obsidian, I had a REST API in, like, it's just like a community plugin. Like, somebody just made one really quickly. And I immediately, when I want to set up the API, plugged it in with my browser extension, and plugged into it with my phone, and that was that. That was it. I've got it synced across all my devices. I can save immediately from anything I'm doing on my phone or anything I'm doing in my browser, and I can get it to save specifically to a note called Reads. And I don't pay for any of it. Like, it's all free. And granted, I have donated to the developers. But like, imagine if something like that had the value for value splits, had the Lightning Prisms, and I could share that out on Nostr, and I could potentially make a split with those developers, because like that's the app that I use. On top of having a split that I could automatically save from whoever's written the article, like Gigi was talking about. But I think it's hard to underestimate the value of getting rid of these walled gardens, of getting rid of these platforms. You know, when I used Pocket and Readwise and Matter more recently, like none of them, I can't really take them anywhere with me. I have to have their same app, and all of them like have like a paid service so that you can sync things, and like the ability to do something like that easily and from Nostr and having that same feed no matter where you go. Like, this is a really simple and yet really, really wonderful idea, because it, like, literally that's the only problem with all of those other apps. Like, that's it. Like the funny thing is they're constantly trying to make like all of these great features and all of these things that you can do in the interoperation, and they're redesigning the same crap over and over and over again for a new platform and a new service and a new icon and somebody else's, a new cloud server that somebody's going to centralize and keep all of your reading history and your bookmarks for you. And it's like I've constantly gone through this process of losing all of my previous ones. And migrating from one service to the next is a nightmare. It's basically I'll put it aside and just never do it. Even migrating from Notion, because their note format, Notion was one I used before I finally went to the Rome and Obsidian universe and then have just completely gone over to Obsidian. But Notion doesn't use like a standard format somehow. Like something's wrong. Like I can't just like import like graphs and like these things that I did in Notion. And it was a really useful app, and I thought I was just going to be able to kind of export these things as like CSV files, and I sort of can, but like somehow, I can't remember what it was, the link that they create for the thing is a Notion.so link. So it links you to the Notion location, where what I was literally trying to do was bookmarks. So it's only in Notion that the bookmark then works. It's some like weird thing with how it connects to other things in the notes. And that mess drove me crazy because I thought I was just going to export this whole thing and I have all these bookmarks. I still have 1,000 candidate reads that I was going to get to or that I had considered doing on the show. And I'm not even joking. When I say 1,000, I'm not even joking. It's like, I guess it's probably not that much. It's like 600 probably. But in like a bookmark graph of that was organized in Notion, where I was just still having like a couple of those small headaches before switching over to Obsidian. But imagine how much more powerful it is. And this is kind of what Obsidian and Rome Research, and there's actually like 4 or 5 others that I found that all use this same model. But this is the thing that I found fascinating and has been so great by switching over. I know I'm talking about Obsidian and note-taking app and not Nostr and what Gigi's talking about, but I think it's really, really relevant because the thing that finally made that kind of the definitive tool for me was the fact that I could just migrate from one to the other. Not that it was hosted somewhere else. Like, you know, it wasn't like a Nostr relay was just broadcasting it and I could just sign in, but I could export from one and import from the other and just basically continue from where I left off. It's just that it was like organized differently or the interface was slightly different. Like I still had to like think about how I use tags in Obsidian differently and I had to do like a bunch of formatting changes and stuff. But a bunch of people had made plugins to kind of simplify that change. But that was the thing, is that people could make something for one of the apps or for a different app or add, you know, a new formatting thing or a new way to make stuff look a particular way. And it would translate. I could move it from one place to the next because everything was just a .md note. And think about how non-interoperable that still is. And that made a massive difference in my experience and my workflow. Like I don't feel like I will ever go away from that just because there are so many apps that are now kind of adopting that whole, that part of the space. It will literally have to be something that's just so good in the context of like note saving and all of that, that it just replaces the entire thing altogether. But it will have to be another open platform, another open system. But with the reads, I never found a good solution. I just don't even use reading apps anymore. Like someone who reads as much as I do, I really wish I had a good one. In fact, there is a plugin in, I don't really use it that much, but I could technically use Obsidian as a reader app by saving an entire article as a note automatically. And they do have a reader, they have an editing view and a reader view. And I have done that with a few of them, but I don't want to crowd out my notes with just entire articles. You know, I want them to be a little bit more concise. But I was actually just on Nostr asking the other day whether bookmarks were client-side or not, and that there is apparently two forms, but I am, particularly with like Twitter and social media in general, I am an avid bookmarker. And you know how you can actually export your entire Twitter history? Well, you can't do that for bookmarks. And I've tried numerous workarounds to actually get this to work, and I have still not really been successful. And there was some time where I definitely lost like a huge chunk of bookmarks somehow on Twitter, which sucks because like I use them as kind of like record keeping and like saving references that I can get back to. And it's just a nightmare that I have no control over it. It's hard to search through them, but there's no quick way to save them. And that's where, you know, Obsidian kind of did a little bit, has done pretty well in basically filling in that gap some, but I would love something more direct. And that's why I'm really excited about bookmarks on Nostr, because like as soon as they are saved, it's easy to get back to. It's easy to save them in full. Like the other problem with Twitter is that I would save like a bunch of them during like the pandemic, and I would save like somebody's claim about the vaccine or about the prediction on COVID or prediction on the Bitcoin price or like some of these things specifically so that I could get back to them, and then they get deleted. Then they get removed because they get fact-checked and get removed from the platform, or the person got kicked off the platform. So I don't even have, like, the history is gone. Like, my bookmarking, it meant nothing because it was still only in the same place. The information was still controlled by a central entity, and I couldn't even get a backup of it off the platform. And it sucks because it literally defeats the purpose as to why I do those things, is so that I can go back and check, was this person right? Was this person crazy? Like, they treat us like such unbelievable children where I don't even have the right to think nuanced about these things or to come to my own conclusions or to do my own research, because they're going to come to the conclusion for me, and they're just going to remove any ability to verify or check that history or what that person said or remember to go back to see who exaggerated or when I exaggerated or drew the wrong conclusion. Instead, I'm going to have that choice made for me, and I'm just going to, my history is just going to be whitewashed to just have everything align with the narrative. You know, if you treat people like they are stupid and irresponsible, you will create stupid, irresponsible people. It is remarkable to me sometime how that basic common sense truth is lost on the people who run our political and centralized, like our networks. It is the fiat mindset. It's to take away people's responsibility, take away people's choice, make them scared of doing anything wrong or making any mistakes, and treating them like they're criminals to prevent crime from happening, and then thinking that that means you're going to have a moral, ethical, intelligent, responsible population. When in fact, what you create is a deep aversion to being responsible for anything or making any decisions yourself, while also creating an entitlement that everything is just supposed to be handed to them and all problems are simply supposed to be solved by somebody else. While in the same vein, that incentive also makes everybody an obnoxious kind of holier-than-thou critic, that everybody else is doing everything wrong, and that the people who are making decisions and who are taking actions and who are building things just get told they're doing it wrong by all the people who don't build anything, who don't take responsibility for anything, and have become so scared to make a mistake that they just become spectators in their own lives. That is the long-term iterative feedback outcome of the fiat mindset, of the fiat world, of the training wheels on everything. Nobody is smart enough or deserves or has earned the freedom to be in control of their own information, of their own life, and their own security. And I really think that's why so much of this is a cultural and individual revolution at the same time that it is a technological revolution. I think that's why Bitcoin inspires that change in thinking, which is a long process of beating it out, like changing our behaviors and our mindset. And I think we fumble and make mistakes and dive back into tribalism and all the stuff over and over and over again. I think it will be a never-ending process of pushing in the opposite direction. And I think these having control over your information, having control over your feed, having the freedom to experiment and build with people, to be able to build tools together, and having the freedom to move all of this information and the freedom to move money and value, these things seem like subtle shifts, but I think they're incredibly subtle shifts in the foundation of how we do everything else. Like, that's why if the Nostr model works, which I really think monetization is just the thing that needs to be solved, is how do we fund the bandwidth, so to speak? Like, how do we pay for the bandwidth without advertisements, without using the attention economy? And I think really that means building as much of an economy on top of this thing, so that we're fee sharing, we're value for value sharing, we're boost sharing or zap sharing, whatever it is. Which means I think the answer is not how do we get more subscriptions, how do we get advertisers, how do we pay for this in that way. The question is, how do we get more economic activity happening on top of this? That's why I think marketplaces, that's why I think the Medium and Substack replacement and adding tips and like being able to sell a book on a Substack and be able to pay directly through that, and, you know, sell that book on an LN Bits page that's directly through the, you know, somebody goes to read an article and then they can buy the book directly in the thing from that person's LN Bits page, or whatever eBay service or network or platform, whatever it is that they build on top of Nostr, the UI basically for like there's a, I just saw something about this, Anna Nostr maybe is what it was called. I don't know. I can't remember. This is as soon as these kind of start to drop, the eBays on Nostr, so to speak, the classifieds, we will absolutely be talking about it on the show. We'll probably try to get somebody on the show to chat and kind of go through the details of these things. But I want to get one out there in the wild and be able to play with it and explore it before we really kind of dig into it. But I'll try to find the one that I'm thinking of right now that I just saw recently, and I'll have it in the show notes if you want to check it out. But I just want to read this quote from Gigi, from this article. It just says, just because I think this is such a simple idea, but it solves all of these problems of these other apps that I know all too well. Is, quote, imagine a special purpose client that scans all of your bookmarks for long form content. Like, imagine like the ones that I save on Twitter, is that Twitter could just distinct, like I could just have an app like Pocket or Readwise, whichever one I was using at the time, or Obsidian could just read through all of those bookmarks. There was an easy API to get to those freaking bookmarks, could read through all the bookmarks and see which ones were articles that I saved. I didn't even have to save them as articles, and it would just populate into my read list. But anyway, back to the quote, and that's what he's talking about. Everything that you marked to be read later is shown in an orderly fashion, which is to say searchable, sortable, filterable, and displayed without distractions. Voila, you have yourself a reading app. That is in essence how Pocket, Readwise, and other reading apps work. But all these apps are walled gardens without much interoperability and without direct monetization. Here's the thing. So all of these other apps have to build in their own way to save. Like, it's annoying to have to go to, even on the phone, like, which the apps, they're designed to try to be as simple as possible for doing this, for accomplishing this task. They make it so that you have to hit the share button, and you go up and you know scroll it over to the app or whatever, and you reorder your app list so that Matter is right there, Readwise is right there, and you save it to your Readwise page. But I'm already saving it. Like, I'm already doing it twice. I'm talking about like Twitter or Noster or something like that. If I'm saving it on social media, my bookmarks list is right there. Why can't it just read off of my bookmarks list? In Noster, you can. It can literally be a relay that just reads the long note form posts or the links to the long form essays or articles. And then combine that with the writer experience, that the note itself is signed by the author, like cryptographically signed, so that you know exactly who to pay. And that the payment could be built into the note. The payment split could be built into the note and could be built into to split partially to the relay that is hosting the note or that you are reading it off of, like the lightning prisms that we talked about. And then Gigi and I have, and Walker have donated, and a number of other people as well, have donated sats or to the bounty to get that to be able to split with the relay easily. And I think that is also something that is discounted that Gigi mentions in this article. I'll find the, what was it? Okay, here it is. It says, although it is still early days, the statistics around podcasting 2.0 and Noster Zaps clearly show that A, people are willing to monetarily reward content they care about, and B, the willingness to send sats increases as friction decreases. I think we really, really discount the removal of just one or two steps from the process. There's some things like sort of easy. It's we tend to quit or move on to the next thing. And something like Zaps, like something when it gets really, really easy to send a small payment or a tip or to split with a relay. If I used the example actually when I tagged JB55 in the thing about lightning prisms with relays, is that if I can just have it so that in the note, somehow there is just like a slot that I allow the relay to put in their tag or their lightning address, and I can just allocate 20% of all of my zaps to whichever relay the person is reading it off of. So essentially the relay gets the benefit, or they get the privilege of putting my tweet or my note or Preston Pigeon's note, like whoever's note that they have, they get the privilege of, if they get more users to their platform or to their relay and they serve that information first to the user, well, then they get to put in their lightning address in order to split the zaps earned by either being the client that people are using or the relay that is most quickly and most efficiently serving the user the content. Now, maybe because of signatures or how things are signed and, you know, how hashes, like all these things are dependent on each other, maybe there's not like a really easy way to do that, or like maybe there's like some security concern there because I'm not verifying that information somehow. I don't really know, but if it still requires me to put something in manually, well, then it makes sense for me to just do it to the one that I'm posting to. So if I'm like posting on iris.to or Nostragram or something like that, is that I will just automatically put in their lightning address so that other people, when they tip the post, you know, rather than the user deciding or the user's experience deciding, have it be the publisher's, the person who's posting the note. But regardless, when you take, thinking about it in the context of like how I have been tipping now, I'm having to remember and or save different users who I know are related to a certain client. So like Domus or whatever, I know it's JB55. Nostragram, I know it's J Ledger. And so when they put out an update, I actually asked him to do this, that when there was an update notification, just put the ability to tip right inside the thing, because I was constantly having to go remember his username and search him and tip him individually. And he would say, they would even say in the thing, in the note, like, please donate to help out. And, but like, I didn't have an easy, I couldn't donate right in the update notification. Now imagine if I didn't have to go, like, I probably donate every few days, or like I'll just use Noster casually on my mobile and I won't think about it. And a couple of weeks will go by and I won't tip any of the developers. And I'll have multiple updates go through on a handful of the different clients that I use. And I'll have earned a good chunk of sats in Zaps. But I have to actively do it. Like, I have to go out of my way to find whoever it is and remember, like, okay, I saved them, where did I save them, all of this stuff, like a contacts list and a connections, and like none of that is necessary. If you remove all of those steps and you just make it by default, and I just set a percent, like I would just constantly be, when I forgot about it for 2 weeks, it would be constantly happening. It would still be a part of my entire interaction and my entire process with that. And now you do that as a writer, that you reward the relay that's hosting it, or you reward the writer that you are sharing a highlight from. And because it's a signed note or a signed, you know, Substack or article post with a signed person highlighting and sharing it out, well, you can know which highlight got you the most zaps, and you can know who it was that shared it out that got your article the most attention, and how people, how things were driven, how content and value was driven to your article, and how your content was driven out. Like, that's incredibly useful data. You know, it's certain things that, like, that other, like, closed platforms try desperately to figure out how to get that information. Whereas this is, it's like a public signal. You get that information through your friends sharing it with you by simply following the people who publicly sign to denote that this is the thing that I found valuable. This is the thing that struck a chord with me. This is an article you should read. And if you actually read it and you tip them, or you also found value in this highlight or in this quote from this post, well, then you zap me for curating it to you, and half of it automatically goes back to the writer because they're the creator of the content. And it becomes these positive feedback loops from sharing all of this information out. And it becomes, again, we're building one step higher. We're moving up from shit posting to articles and, you know, long form posts, and coming up with, you know, interesting insights and doing real solid development. And if you can attach payments and payment splits to all of these things, to sharing this information out, you actually have an honest network of where the value of the information itself, the real value of the information, is directly and very closely tied to how quickly and how well that information disseminates. And it could potentially also make steps in the direction of slowing down the dissemination of controversial, shallow information, and speeding up the dissemination of much, much more thoughtful and deep, much more positive information. And then you give people back control over the experience so that they can choose their algorithm or how they want to do it. Like, there's already a Noster app. I can't remember what it's called. Calmster? I don't remember. It's something like that. But it was a client I got, or somebody sent my way, and I believe I saved it in one of my notes, is it's specifically designed to give you the most relevant stuff and to be non-addictive, specifically to make sure that it's not trying to trap you there so that you can actually control your social experience. And that is, I think, so much of the part where we aren't even in charge of our relationship to the product itself, that we don't get to choose how it is giving us that information because it is the platform itself. And so these platforms are competing to trap us there rather than having the information separate from the platform, having the information be free so that we can choose which platform and how we want to relate to that information. And I think when we do have that, as we do get that control back and we build these systems, there's going to be so many novel and far more healthy relationships with this type of content and these networks, that I think we're going to find that so much of the problems and negative consequences and negative feedback loops with the internet have largely been a consequence of the central control and the external dictation or the external control over the relationship that the user has with the content and how the content is fed to the user. And when the users actually have control over that and they have control over their social circles and where they pull information from, where they choose to focus, I think those things will be realigned. And I also think that AI is going to be one of those tools that makes this even more apparent. Like I talked about in yesterday's episode, is that using the frog and the boiling water analogy, is that the internet, this snuck up on us until these problems got massive and really out of hand because they didn't move fast enough for us to be aware of them. Whereas AI, the internet is kind of one of those things that, like, as this, if there is this imbalance or this addiction or this trap people into a platform sort of thing, it's not until, you know, 10 years it's changed how you interact with the web, it's changed how you've interacted with your apps, and now you do have this walled garden and suddenly you do have all this censorship and control and all of these huge negative externalities with the way that the information and the network itself is designed. Whereas in AI, I think the feedback loop is going to be so freaking fast, it's like turning up the pot to, like, the highest boiling water in a matter of hours, days, or weeks. And the frog jumps out immediately. Like, the problems become all that more obvious. And as we have more control over it, I think it will split and we'll have, you know, individual experiences very, very well catered, and where the feedback loops are, the consequences of the feedback loops are achieved or discovered incredibly quickly. So we also have the ability to adapt and migrate our behavior and change our behavior extremely quickly. And I think we'll find that same thing, is that my thinking is right now is that so many people are so scared about AI because it is this crazy tool being unleashed that's like a huge, huge deal and has incredible consequences. But I think the tendency for us to want to control and regulate and centralize what those things are allowed to do are literally going to cause all of the problems that we're afraid of it causing. I think it's more intelligent or more accurate, so to speak, to think of these tools as individual organisms. And what we want is not for everybody to consolidate onto the best organism and that we will just engineer and decide exactly what kind of controls and exactly how these things should behave, and then we will all get on the same platform in which all of these things work. Is we need to do the exact opposite. We need to spread it out, we need to split them up, and we need to make as many of them as humanly possible or as artificially intelligently possible. Is that we need millions of these little AI systems running, or billions of them, so that they can compete. And that while, and I think this is also our protection from AI, is that if you get like an AI tool that's designed to, you know, just fish as efficiently as possible for it to not fish the world to extinction, fish all of fish to extinction until the oceans are empty, is that you have an AI that defends the fish or basically goes the opposite direction. Is you need pushback. You don't need to try to put everybody on the one system and then control it. You need to have a system that works in competition. You know, like the cat in the wild or in the jungle or whatever is an amazing hunting animal, but nature doesn't prevent it from over hunting its environment and hunting everything else to extinction by you know, trying to neuter it in some way or to have some top-down control. No, life fights against it. life, other life, comes up with defenses or finds ways to hide. It's through the competition and adaptation of millions and billions of interacting and conflicting pressures and individual organisms and systems that the balance is actually achieved, not because you engineered balance into one system. I think it's fundamentally the attempt to do that that causes all of the massive systemic, oh, we're all going to die sorts of problems, which is only a slight tangent from talking about a reading app on Noster.
But I think it's just another,
it's in the same line of thinking, you know, is we need to free information, we need to remove these controls and learn how to let the push and pull happen, let the adaptation happen, let the organic market arise from these things. And going back to just Noster in particular, for anybody who is a Noster developer or, you know, building a client or wanting to run a relay, is I really think Lightning Prisms is separating up these Lightning payments and trying to bring as much economic activity as possible to these platforms. And I think the two big things to focus on right now, I believe, should be long-form articles and these things that we've associated with external platforms, like Substack. Gigi's totally right on that I think Substack and Medium, the incredible success of those is indicative of a need for exactly that type of content, a resurgence of that type of content. And then in addition is the consumer demand for its curation and how to find it. And I think rather than trying to have over and over again, trying to have these centralized curation systems, I think it makes sense to have curation networks, curation communities, which is what Noster actually enables finally. And it does so with the openness and interoperability of something like Obsidian, except taking away all of the extra steps. It's removing all of the three like annoying steps in that process entirely and just making it a standard thing, an event. And I read also recently that there is another NIP actually that makes it so that someone like an institution or a platform like Twitter can actually implement Noster just by converting or interoperability through a specific NIP with the Noster protocol, which is also fascinating because if it's simple enough and because there aren't any strict limits on except in like type, like event type, this is what could allow Noster to maybe easily integrate with something like Minds, like going out to all of the secondary and like the anti-censorship social medias that have popped up, all of these, like this kind of spider web of alternative social medias that have not really had any great success, and none of them have really caught on in a major way, but they've kind of created their own little isolated community that has gone over there for some specific topic or specific political reason or just to follow Trump on Truth Social or whatever it is. And I think the ability to actually interoperate between kind of the fringe social media space could be a really, really big deal. And this is kind of the beauty of that freedom of information. And I really think if we continue to remember that line that Gigi said in this, is that as the willingness to send sats increases as friction decreases, and we need to just continue to cut away at all of the friction. And I think we really do have the foundation. We have the basis of an open information economy that where we can just keep adding one additional thing, one slightly more advanced type of note or longer form article or a way to put the podcast, attach the podcast feed into it, or a way to attach You know, this has been also my excitement about Hole Punch and Keat. It has these same native characteristics, is the way the platform works or the way the protocol itself works. It solves these fundamental problems and makes information free and open such that it doesn't matter where you get it from, because the integrity is built into the cryptographic keys. And in a world where AI is rushing onto the scene and we are threatened into having to deal with an internet where everything is fake, everything can be faked, the people who aren't using cryptographic keys are literally going to disappear into an ocean of bots and just fakeness. They're going to be indistinguishable, which is why I increasingly think Nostr and Keat and Slash Tags and Bitcoin and these things, they're not even nice to haves. We must have them or everything is going to fall apart. And all of the locks that we think on the ability to distinguish human from inhuman, from, you know, human from machine on the internet, is going to disappear. Like, we're just going to lose it. We're not going to be able to video. We're not going to be able to take a picture of ourselves with our ID. None of that is going to work. And they are going to try to make, people are going to try to make highly centralized, highly surveilled, highly controlled options. And that is not the solution. That is just a new vulnerability and a ticking time bomb. What we need are things like Nostr. We need Keat. We need Slash Tags. We need public and private keys in the hands of every single person, and we need Bitcoin secure, a secure monetary and value transfer network to operate these things on. And I think that is our path to a sustainable future, to a future that actually protects us from these dangers and ultimately ends up renewing, creating a stronger foundation and a stronger individual walls around all of these individual cells, these people and these humans in the digital environment, such that we can actually build insane and incredible systems that interoperate and basically have effects and guide things in the real world through this combination of AI. And we actually have historically mind-blowing renaissance in productivity, in value explosion and creativity, rather than a net negative, rather than all of the potential and horrible consequences of the future that we are running into. And that is why I think learning Bitcoin is critical. That's why we talk about Nostr and stuff on this show. I think these aren't just cool toys that I think we should check out. I think these are going to be fundamental and very critical in a very short amount of time. And luckily, we do have the solutions. And at the same time, we can solve more simpler and more elegant, create more elegant solutions to long-running problems on the internet of siloed information. And a reader app is something where he says, Gigi even says here, we've got 90% of the tools already. We just need a little bit of the end putting it together. And as someone who desperately, desperately would love this and wants to be able to make better use of my bookmarks and wants Nostr to finally create bookmarks in the way that, or establish a bookmarking system in the way that I have always wanted Twitter bookmarks to work and they just have never really done, I am very, very happy to put sats onto this bounty. So if anybody has a clever idea or is going to do this, maybe we'll do this on Nostr Bounties or Nostr.bounty or whatever it is, the same one that we did the other one with. Maybe I'll hit Gigi up on Nostr or something like that when we share this out. Anybody else who wants to join me, please, let's get a bounty out and let's get somebody to make this and put this thing together. The more activity, the more economic exchange and the more value we bring to this network, the more valuable it will be and the more sustainable it will be. And all of this is really exciting. And this It was just a fun little article. As always, a huge thank you to Gigi. Always for coming up with some fun ideas and exploring them and writing great stuff on dirtgg.com. I highly encourage anyone to check it out because I don't get to read every single thing that he does. At least not on the show, I mean. But I do try to get to a lot of it. But I definitely recommend throwing some value Gigi's way. Check out the link in the show notes. Because he's actually got a link to a number of them. Further reading, A Vision for a Value-Enabled Web. That was the one that he wrote and referenced at the beginning of this. And this was really, really long, or at least it's longer. It's one of his longer pieces. And then The Freedom of Value, The Rediscovery of Money, and Lightning Prisms, which we have done on the show, just not the first one. But I'll have links to those so that you can go check them out. And also check out our sponsors, and a thank you to all of them for supporting the show. And I will catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. Until then, everybody, take it easy, guys. Liberty not only means that the individual has both the opportunity and the burden of choice, it also means that he must bear the consequences. Liberty and responsibility are inseparable. Friedrich August von Hayek.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.